Yes, we are reading from Ephesians 2, from verse 11, and it's on page 1174. Yes. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let's pray as we start. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit who gives life. For we ask that your Spirit today will be giving life again, and would your word be opening our eyes? We ask those things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good. Sometime in life, we fail to understand the value of what we have. You know, like, think of like things like time. You see, we have time, we have a lot of time, and we don't always make the most of it. Or even think of money. We may not have a lot of money, but even the money we have, we don't see the value of it. So we spend our money like in many ways, and then we end up having the money. But even think of something like family. You see, when we have like family around, you know, we don't understand the importance of family. You see, we end up neglecting them. We end up treating them like they were always be there. You see, we fail to see the value of the things we have. But as Christians, what is the thing that we have? We have unity. See, unity between us as a church and unity with God. But what does unity mean? Well, unity means oneness. You see, unity is that thing of being made one. You see, you take several separate things and you make them one thing. So as a church, we are one with each other and we are one with God. And you see, and we don't always understand the value of unity. You see, we think that unity is just an option, or it's just one of the things that come with following Jesus. But actually, the passage that we are reading today, it shows us that unity is the purpose of the gospel. The reason why Jesus left heaven, came to earth, and died on the cross is for this unity. So you see, if you read the second half of verse 15, it will talk about this. It will say Jesus' purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. So you see, the purpose of Jesus was to make a new man or a new humanity out of two groups. So the Jews and the Gentiles. So you see, there is two separate things and they are being made one thing. Unity is the purpose of the gospel. And see, and the entire letter of Ephesians talks about this unity between Jewish people and the Gentiles. So you see, so Jewish people, you see, they are natural descendants of Israel. And their native culture was to live under the law that God gave to Moses. So normal life for them would have been learning from the scriptures, keeping the Sabbath days and the Passover, offering sacrifices to God, living for God, living among God's community. But you see, but Gentiles, like that's the non-Jews, their native culture was not to live like the people of God. And especially the Ephesians, you see, their culture, if you read in Acts, you would see that their culture was to worship a goddess named Artemis, and they also did things like practicing witchcraft. But the Ephesians believers, they were people who gave up their old, this old culture, this old way of life to become followers of Jesus. But outside of Jesus, in their native culture, these guys were everything that a descendant of Israel in those days under the law of Moses could not associate with. But in this letter, Paul explained to them that in Christ, Gentiles, to non-Jews, and Israel are sharers of the promise of God. They have unity in Christ. So in this part of the letter, Paul explained this, what's on the screen, that unity is the purpose of the gospel. And he gave them three things to look at for them so they can fully understand the value of unity. And the first thing for them to look at, it's the life before and after unity. Are any of you into like health and like weight loss and going to the gym and this kind of things? Any? No? Nobody? No? Sometimes I see like gym running and stuff. But like, believe it or not, I used to have a personal trainer. Why? Yeah. But like the one thing that the personal trainers, they love to do is to show you your life like before and after you start training with them. So they will tell you things like, oh, before you started training with me, you couldn't even do 3 push-ups. You couldn't lift like 5 kilos. You couldn't like last 1 second on the treadmill. You were a loser. But now, look at you, lifting all the weights, running all over the place with your shiny muscles. You know, that's the type of things that the personal trainers do. They make you look at your life before and after you train with them. Why? So you can understand the value of the training you are taking with them. And that's what Paul is doing here. It's showing the Ephesians their life before and after the unity, so they can understand the value of unity. How was their life before? Well, look at verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So Paul reminds the Ephesians who they were before unity. And who were they? They were not in Christ. They were not united with Christ. They were separate from Christ. They couldn't be part of God's community. They were excluded from citizenship in Israel. They didn't share in the promise. They were foreigners to the promise. They had no part in God's work. And this was their life before the unity. But how's the life after unity? Look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So you see, they were far away, but now in Christ Jesus, after the unity, they have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But what does this far and near mean? Like, what does it really mean? You see, if you were a Jewish person at this time, you see, you were near God's community. You would have heard the promise that God have made. You would have known about the instruction that God have given to Moses about how to live to please God. But if you were a Gentile, if you were an Ephesian, you would have been far away from God's community. And in their culture, there was no way that they would have been able to know how to live in order to please God. They would have never heard anything like this. They were excluded. But now, what they are in Christ? They have been brought near. And that's what they are. So before the unity, no involvement in God's community. They couldn't even apply to be able to be involved in God's community. But after the unity, they are not able to be part of God's community. And this is something we need to think about. You see, what makes us part of God's community? See, is it our culture? Is it because we are from a Christian family? Like we go to a Christian school, or because we're from a Christian country, or because we have like Christian traditions? No. It's being in Christ. Jesus is the one who brings people to God's community. He's the one who brings people near. And this is the thing that we need to understand. You see? And if we don't get this, we won't understand the value of unity. And this is why we need to firstly take a look at the life, at our life, before and after unity. But the second thing to take a look at is the peace made to create unity. Have a look at verse 14. For Jesus himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So Paul says that Jesus is the peace of all believers. So Jewish believers, Gentiles believers, Jesus is the peace of all of them. But what Jesus has done, he has taken Israel and the Gentile and he has made them one. So unity being made one. But this process of unity was not a straightforward process. See, it required peacemaking because there was a barrier that had to be destroyed. There was a dividing wall of hostility. And this is a very brutal picture. You see, like, and for you to get this, you know, think of something like South Africa, like think of the apartheid. You know, in those days in South Africa, there was a barrier between white people and anyone who was not white. And if anyone who wasn't white tried to cross the barrier, they would have been arrested, maybe shot, maybe beaten, or attacked by dogs. This barrier was full of hostility. Between the Jews and the Gentiles, there was a barrier, a wall. Even more hostile than the wall in South Africa. You see, because this war was not only based on prejudice or personal preference, this war was based on the law that God gave to Moses. Because of the law, Jewish people couldn't be united with people like the Ephesians. Because those guys, they worship other gods. They did witchcraft and all kind of things. So if a regular Jewish guy would have done something that an Ephesian usually do, they would have been disowned or maybe stoned to death. There is no way that they could have been united. But look at from verse 14 to 15, what Jesus has done. So for he who has made the two one has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulation. So on the cross, Jesus abolished the law. And abolish means canceling, means no more, means it's over. And of course, the thing... Let me get... Sorry. That's fine. So, I'll take it back. So on the cross, Jesus abolished the law. And abolish, what does it mean? It means counseling, it means no more, it means, you know, it's over. And of course, the thing that it doesn't mean that the law is no longer true or is no longer valid. But what it means that the consequences of the law have been put on Jesus. So all this hostility, all this divide, Jesus took this on him. He has made peace. He has destroyed the wall of hostility. But why did he make peace for? To create unity. Read the rest of verse 15. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. So by making peace, Jesus created a new man, or a new humanity, who are at peace with God. At peace with God and at peace with each other. And you see, and verse 18 says that they both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And this is what the peace of Jesus did. He took different people doing different things in different ways, and he has turned them to one people doing the same thing, having access to God by one Spirit. So how do you view unity? Because this is why Jesus died for. Yes, Jesus died to save people from their sins so they won't go to hell. But the reason why he did all this, it was to create a people united with each other and united with God. So there is some value in unity. But how can we truly understand unity? Well, by doing the first thing, taking a look at the life before and after unity, and by looking at the peace made to create unity. But the third thing, by taking a look at the purpose of unity. You see, unity needs a purpose. Unity without a purpose is not unity. Like, I don't know if you guys are into police action / comedy type of movies. You know, stuff like Rush Hours and like Showtime, Ride Along, or maybe like there's a British one, it's called things Hot Fuzz or something. But the usual storyline in those movies is that they usually try to pair up two guys who have nothing to do with each other. So there's like a super experienced, faithful police officer. And then there is like a random guy. He has no clue about what he's doing. And you see, and at the start of the movie, the team doesn't do well because the guys, they both hate each other and they have no purpose. But at some point in the movie, something terrible happened. Maybe someone kids getting kidnapped, or maybe they got fired when they're about to solve the case, and they become a real team, really united, willing to die for one another. You see, that's unity. Unity has a purpose. The church being united is for a purpose. As Jesus brings people together and makes them one, as a group, it gives them a role, it gives them a function, it gives them a purpose. And what is the purpose? It's to be members of the house of God. Look at verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. See, now that the Gentiles are part of God's community with the believing Jews, together they are member of the house of God. And what kind of house is this? Look at verse 20. So that's the house. So the house is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. I don't know much about construction, but that doesn't sound like a usual house. You know, like usual house, they usually like built with like bricks and other stuff. I don't know. But what is this house built with? You see, the foundation of the house, the bit that the house is constructed on, so that foundation is something that the apostles and the prophet did. And the cornerstone, the bit that holds everything together, is Jesus, is a person. What does it mean? So the apostles and the prophets, they are the people who spoke the word of God. And the word of God, this is the thing that Christians, that believer, they put their faith on. So this is the foundation. The word of God, the word of Jesus. And Christ Jesus is the cornerstone, the one who holds everything together. And that's what it says in verse 21 says. In him the whole house is joined together. And look at the rest. And rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Okay. So the house that Christians are being part of is a temple. So a place of worship, a place of prayer, like a temple. So the purpose of Jesus bringing people together is for them to become part of this temple. But actually, there is more to it. There is more to it. Look at verse 22. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So the purpose of unity, the purpose of Jesus bringing people together, is not only for them to become part of the house of God, but it's also for them to become the house of God, the place where God lives by his Spirit. See, if you are here today and you are a Christian, you see, this is why Jesus made unity. You see, this is your purpose. This is your role. It's for you to be a place where God lives. And I don't know if it's the way that you often think of yourself. See, does the things that you do, like does your thoughts reflect this? And even as a church, even as a group of Christians, when we get together, do we behave like the dwelling place of God? See, are we concerned for each of us relationship with God? Are our words helping other members of the house to remain in Jesus, to remain in the cornerstone? Or are our words distraction from the word, from the foundation? Maybe you're here this evening and you're not even a member of the church, of the house of God. See, and I'm not talking about having a membership in this church. I'm not talking about coming to church every Sunday. I'm not asking if you are from a Christian family, from a Christian culture, from a Christian country, if you go to a Christian school. I'm asking you, are you a Christian? Are you someone who have trusted Jesus for yourself personally? If you haven't put your faith in Jesus, let me tell you that you don't have unity with him. You haven't been brought near yet. you are still far away, you are still excluded from God. And what it means is that you are still an enemy of God. And the Bible says that Jesus will come back, and when he comes, those who are not united with him, those who don't belong to him, those who are not in him, will be punished. They will be thrown in hell. But that's what Jesus did on the cross. See, he took all the punishment that we deserve for that time when we used to be enemies of God. So when you put your trust in Jesus, when you believe in him, you are no longer an enemy of God. You become united with Jesus. You are reconciled with God. And you are one with the church. You are part of God's community, a member of the house of God. See, you can be someone who take a look at your life and you see that you have been brought near. You can be someone who see the peace that Jesus has made and you see that you are part of this new people who have access to God by His Spirit. You can look at the purpose of unity and see that your purpose is to be the place where God lives. And this is the value of unity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage that we have looked at together. We thank you that through Jesus, you have given us unity. Father, we confess that we don't understand everything from your purposes. We don't understand the value of unity. Father, would you help us to take a look at our lives before and after unity? At the peace that Jesus made to create unity, at the purpose of unity, so we would understand the value of unity. Would the ways we behave reflect this unity? Would the way we treat each other reflect this unity? Would our words, thoughts, and actions encourage to follow, to remain in Jesus and His Word? And Father, if there is anyone in this room who hasn't accepted Jesus yet, would you have mercy on this person and bring that person near in the unity that our Savior has made for us? And we pray in His name. Amen.